Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Tuning the Bow, a parenting podcast where we focus mainly on discipleship and then, you know, help out with parenting, other, you know, practical things every now and then. My name is Matthew Wilbanks, and I'm here with my good friend Tim Rose. Tim, how are you doing?
Man, I'm good. We had a full Easter weekend. Don't know when you all will listen to this episode, but we recorded it right after Easter. And my weekend involved me fixing my smoker, which had been broken in a bit of travel. So I fixed the smoker, and then I cooked ribs Saturday night, and I did brisket on Sunday. I did the Easter sweet brisket, which is about the only time of year I'll ever make a brisket sweet is on Easter, but that's an Easter, you know, brisket. And I made that and it was delicious. And we had family or not family. We had friends who are like family. We had friends over all day yesterday. I think the people finally left at 10:20. So we immediately then put our kids in bed and Mary and I ate dinner at, I think, 11:15, watching the newest episode of The Mandalorian. So it was a great Easter. Man. It was a great Easter overall. It was full though. I know you guys had Good Friday. You had a come and go Good Friday, but we had this big cross service at our church. So we had like 1,200 people here on Friday, and then Sunday we had two services. It was a busy weekend, but it was good. How about yours?
It was really good. Yeah, like you said, we had a come and go thing. We had different stations set up, going from the Last Supper to Jesus' burial. Really good to kind of actually walk through different rooms set up for different themes, seeing, you know, actually partaking in the Lord's Supper, kind of showing what that would have been like, thinking through all these different things, moving to Pilate, washing his hands, and then we had a room where we had a cross laying on the ground, and you did the thing where you write your sin on a piece of paper, you nail it to the cross. And then we had a tomb right as people were leaving that they would roll shut. And all throughout the way, there were different scriptures they would read and points they would think about. And everyone who I was at the end, welcoming people in and then, you know, greeting them as they left. And every single person that came out and talked to me was like, man, that was so impactful. Just taking a moment to think through what Jesus was going through on the way to the cross. And, you know, obviously being reminded that our sin is what held him on the cross, the different things like that. It's definitely a break from what I'm used to doing on a Good Friday. So that was real nice to be a part of. And then we're just getting ready for, you know, we're getting our summer stuff together. I'm getting ready to go all in, trying to figure out different things, get students connected or reconnected or, you know, this, that, and the other. So I'm excited. I'm excited moving in that direction finally after a long semester of trying to get students.
Yeah, and I believe before we get into this episode, this would be a good point to let you know as fans and listeners to Tuning the Bow. We love you dearly, but we will say you may notice maybe weird days that an episode comes out or a week missed here or there during the summer, as Matt and I are both youth pastors. The summer's a bit full, and there's going to be some times where we may not have a full time to record an episode, but we can promise you we are going to do our best to keep it weekly, but we might miss a week here and there. And for that, we are incredibly, incredibly sorry. But in return, we will make sure that we have slam-packed, fantastic episodes and give you some updates of some really cool things that happen along the way. Because I don't know about you, Matt, but I expect God to do some cool stuff this summer.
Oh yeah, I'm looking forward to see what happens. But moving right into our episode, Tim, what do we have on the docket this week?
Yeah, so we're not talking about issues of sexuality this week. If this is your first week listening to Tuning the Bow, then just so you know, that was what we've done the last 3 weeks. You can go back and look and listen there. But we're getting off that. I'm actually personally really glad we did that. I think it was, you know, it's needed. And I know those topics will come up again. But this week we're talking about, well, we're talking about screens. And we're talking about how your kids interact with them and what are some good ways to manage that. And I think where I want to begin this conversation, I'm gonna start us in the book of Matthew. In the book of Matthew, chapter 6, Jesus says these words: "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And at the end of the day, one of the biggest jobs we have as parents, as shepherds to our kids, is to make sure that we have cultivated the right things for them to treasure. And by right things, what I mean is Jesus, a relationship with him, and a great relationship with his word. These are the things that really matter. These are the things that ultimately are the most important. And it's our job to cultivate those for our kids. And that means that much like a shepherd has to bring their sheep to the food, we have to know how to not only bring our sheep to the food, but how to protect them. We've got to protect them from the things they don't need. You know, sheep eat grass. And it's great for sheep to eat some things like hay and some extra nutrients here and there, but you can't only give them hay. They need grass in order to survive. Too much of something that is sweet or that is enjoyable is bad. And we know this in parenting. You know, my kids may love the taste of cinnamon. They may love the taste of sweets, but we can't just give kids sweets. We have to give them meat and potatoes and things that they need to survive. And likewise, that conversation leads us directly into things like electronics and screens. Nobody here is saying that they're bad. Matt and I are currently looking at a screen. I can guarantee you that. We have them. We're surrounded with them. They're not going away anyway. But we really need to talk about how we manage it, because in the same way that we don't want our kids having pizza candy for dinner followed by candy for dessert, we also don't want them fully invested in having their treasure be in the screen that's in their pocket. Because what Matt and I know is that that happens. And Matt's going to give some statistics. Matt's going to give some understandings for us and how we really look at this. So Matt, go ahead and let us know exactly what it is that you know when it comes to screens.
Yeah, so after a little bit of digging, I found a couple things that would prove helpful. According to the CDC, kids who are of 0 to 2 years on average spend 49 minutes looking at a screen, 1 to 2 years, 53 minutes, 2 to 4, 2.5, 3 or 5 to 8 years old. This one's interesting. They spend about 3+ hours looking at a screen every day. And then it goes back to 7 to 8, and this is 1.5 hours. And then it goes from 8 to 10, and this becomes the median for almost every year after 8 years old. It's 6 hours a day. And then if you continue on, the average teenager spends about 7.5 hours per day in front of a screen. Now, if your kids have iPhones or anything like that, you can turn on that screen viewer or screen time, and you can see how often it is. And to my own detriment, I have it on, and it makes me feel pretty bad considering how much time I spend in front of my phone. And so I also looked up another thing that it comes from. Now, you know I try to do my best research that I can, and this is from the American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry. So you already know I'm digging deep.
There you go.
And what the Academy of child and adolescent psychiatry says is that parents may not always know what their children are viewing or how much time they're spending on their screen, because children may be exposed to, including but not limited to, violence and risk-taking behaviors, videos of stunts or challenges that may inspire unsafe behavior, sexual content, negative stereotypes, substance use, cyber bullies and predators, advertising aimed at your child, and misleading and inaccurate information. And too much screen time may lead to, including but not limited to, sleep problems, lower grades in school, reading fewer books, less time with family and friends, not enough outdoor or physical activity, which I am a wild example of, weight problems, mood problems, poor self-image and body image issues, fear of missing out, and less time learning other ways to relax and have fun. So these are common side effects from spending too much time on your screen. And these are some, and I'll, you know, I also said some of the things that are shown through that. And these things are not always in places you would expect. They are in these weird YouTube videos that are geared towards kids, and they're colorful characters, or even characters that are like, I don't know if y'all have ever been down this rabbit hole, but I did for a couple videos, and I was like, what the heck is this that kids are watching? There was for a while, I don't know if it's still the same thing, but Spider-Man and Elsa videos were rampant, and they were filled with stuff that kids shouldn't be watching. But they were done in a childish comedic way to draw attention, to keep clicking on more of those videos. These are things our kids are watching. And these are some of the things that happens when kids spend too much time in front of a screen. And I'll make the argument, this is what happens when all people spend too much time in front of a screen. Because from the year of 8 plus, the average person spends about 7.5 hours behind a screen. And you're recommended not anywhere near that. So we've already got some problems that we're having to deal with and overcome. And so that's why it's important for us to monitor screen time, but also monitor what our kids are viewing. And we kind of talked about that 2 weeks ago, talking about homosexuality and what are your kids hanging, who are your kids hanging out with? What are they looking at? It's the same sort of thing. Is if you're unaware of what your kids are viewing, you have no idea what is impacting them. And so that's why I think that it's good that we looked at Matthew 6 first, because what are your kids building up treasures on? But then I also like verses 22 and 23 of Matthew 6. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So if the light within you is darkness, how deep is that darkness? What we see and what we are projecting, that is what is filling ourselves. So if we are filling ourselves with light and good things, then our whole body will be full of light. But if we are subjecting ourselves to darkness and all these other things, then that's exactly what we're going to end up becoming, full of darkness. Now, Tim, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's so many, and like as a parent of newborns, I mean, I get it. There are times, especially with two of them, that when it's just one of us at home and you need to get something done, man, that screen's an easy way to catch attention. And I don't think I don't even think you're saying, hey, that's the most evil thing in the world. But what Mary and I have noticed is that, like, you have to understand and take that care to watch and figure out what it is they're seeing. You know, we have one of them. If you're a parent of little kids, you'll know exactly who I'm talking about. If you're not, it's a whole different world. But like one of them that we have is a lady by the name of Miss Rachel. She does a lot of songs. My kids love watching her, and generally it's, you know, just little nursery rhymes, not that big of a deal. But one of the things that Mary and I noticed is we noticed a lady that plays the guitar with her, who seemingly presents herself, dresses more like a man than a woman. I wouldn't call her a cross-dresser. I would call her someone who probably struggles with some sort of gender identity crisis. And lo and behold, when we looked on the website, that's true. She wants to be called anything but she. Notice that I won't use the pronoun she wants. But she wants to be called anything but she. And Mary and I discussed it, and we said, okay, well, then now we had to say no new episodes of Miss Rachel will go on without us first viewing them. Because currently she hasn't called herself anything. They haven't called her anything but her name. And they haven't introduced that to our kids. But I can guarantee you at some point they will. At some point that she will say, I'm blank and I'm this. And they'll identify her as such in a way that we disagree. We believe that God created her as a woman and there's no reason she should be ashamed of that. And that's, I mean, this is literally designed for babies. And I can tell you as well, as a guy who used to work for an eye doctor, in addition to all of the many things you said, we saw more and more and more and more and more younger people, because your eyes dry out when you stare at a screen too long because you don't blink, and they were actually suffering from lack of vision and losing their vision quicker because of the screens that they looked at. So there's numerous things about it. One other thing that I'll say, and I'm not necessarily suggesting this book as something that you all would need to read, but I'm going to tell you it's a book that Matt and I have read that I love and I think really speaks to this. And it's the book called Amusing Ourselves to Death by Neil Postman. And Neil Postman, he's got numerous things going on. But one quote that I enjoy that I'm going to read real quick, and then I'll get it right back over to you, Matt, is he says, what is happening here is that television is altering the meaning of being informed by creating a species of information that might properly be called disinformation. Disinformation does not mean false information. It means misleading information. Misplaced, irrelevant, fragmented, or superficial information. Information that creates the illusion of knowing something, but which in fact leads one away from knowing. And when I read that, when I read it in college, I thought nothing of it. But when I read that now, I get it. Like when I put my kids in front of a screen, they learn from that screen. And if that screen is not teaching everything that I believe, that means my kids are going to learn something that I don't believe. And I let them do it. So yes, I agree. We need to be watching this. I'll say that I have my screen time get sent to me every week. And when fantasy football is not happening, I'm pretty okay. When fantasy football is happening, oh my gosh, it's terrible. But yeah, I definitely think like you have to understand that their phone is effectively a friend that you have no idea what they believe because it changes all the time. Yep. And so you have to monitor how much your kid is with that friend. But go ahead, Matt.
Yeah. So after hearing all that very depressing statistics, what do we do? Obviously, the probably knee-jerk reaction is to just take it away. We want to make sure our kids are learning from us and no one else. And that might be, you know, good in some instances, but in other instances, it's not always the best answer. So what is it then should we do? Well, I want to look at 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, and I want to spend some time and use this as kind of a leapfrog into what we're going, kind of how we should react. And 1 John 2, 15 through 17 says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride in one's possessions is not from the Father, but it is from the world. And the world with its lusts is passing away, but the one who does the will of God remains forever." And so we have to look at this and say, well, obviously, what we need to do is we need to do the will of God. Sure. But we have to look at everything else. We need to make sure what we do also matches what we say. And so if we say we love God, we need to actually follow that up with our action. As James says we need to be doers of the word and not hearers only. We need to apply what Scripture teaches. And so if Scripture teaches, do not love the world or the things of the world, that doesn't mean we need to be like the Buddhist monks who try to reject everything physical and disassociate ourselves and disconnect ourselves with all of the world, go live in a monastery or a temple or whatever, and just focus on spiritual things. You can't do that. That's a very difficult thing, because you're also going to have to deal with, as verse 16 says, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of one's possessions. And so not only do we have to worry about what we have, but also about what we desire. And those two are very different things, because if we just get away from what we have, we're always going to be stuck with what we desire. And so our point is that we need to figure out how to get past these desires. And these desires are not easily killed by ourselves. And so where do we go from here? We look at verse 17, the world with its lust is passing away, but the one who does the will of God remains forever. Now, this is where we go. We look at what we have, we look at what we desire, and we say, whatever God has for me and whatever God wants me to do, that's what I want. That's what I desire. So we have to change what we desire. And then through that, you know, all through the power of the Holy Spirit that lives inside every believer, through that, we're able to remove ourselves in a way from this world and focus on God. Now, obviously, you're still going to go to your job. You're still going to go to school and all these other things, but it's going to be with a different mindset. And so when we have this mindset, we're able to do things differently. We're able to help our kids see this differently. And moving forward, we're able to do things that is actually going to help them in the long run, not just separating themselves from the screens, but showing them this is why this is not good, and this is why God is better.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I think one of the big things that we can do here is begin to ask questions of screens. Mm-hmm. So I can remember being a kid, growing up in regular public education, we would read books, and I was never really asked questions other than questions of strictly comprehension. You know, where did Johnny kick the ball to? You know, oh, he kicked the ball at his sister's face or whatever. I don't know what books I was reading, but you know what I mean. But I can remember being in high school and being asked, well, what do you think about that? Do you agree with him? I'll never forget. It was we were reading the speech that was during the Irish potato famine that was all about eating the babies. It's a piece of satire. And my teacher said, what do you think about it? And I had never been asked that question. She said, do you agree that this is the correct way we should deal with it? And I was like, no, I don't think so. And it began to have me actually think about what I read. Mm-hmm. And that was deeply informative because it made me question it. I think this is a principle we need to bring into the screens. We need to first obviously monitor to know what our kids are seeing. But then when we know, begin to ask some questions about it. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, do you really think that way? Do you really think that's true? Because often what we need to do in order to really get this successful is, I completely agree, the knee jerk of like, get rid of it, throw it out, burn it, you know, put an effigy to it or whatever. Like, that's not going to work. That's weird for starters. Mm-hmm. But I think the idea of, hey, I'm going to educate you to know that you're being educated. I'm going to let you know that what you're looking at has an opinion that it's trying to teach you. Mm-hmm. Then now what you've begun is you've stuck the radar in your kid's head, because now they're thinking, which is step one. But then we begin to cultivate those good thoughts. We begin to cultivate the things of God, make sure they know what is of God. And that begins to put that filter on mm-hmm. them. Mm-hmm. Now, I would still say, all the meanwhile, we know how much time they're consuming this, and we regularly monitor that time. Yes. And we say, you know what? I don't think you need to be on this for 8 hours. Why? Because your filter's not ready. You don't have enough knowledge of God to really deal with the world yet. But yeah, I think, you know, for me, that was one of the biggest things. And the reason, you know, Matt said, yep, when I said something about Neil Postman was because that was probably the first time I had ever been engaged in thinking about what I looked at on my phone, other than just the simple, like, is this against God or not? But like really thinking about the underlying, what are these people saying? What is this person's motivation? What are they trying to tell me? Was when I read that book and I said, oh man, he's right. Mm-hmm. Every screen is trying to tell you something. Every single thing you watch is trying to communicate some truth about the world to you. And it's right. Your decision of, hey, do I agree with that or not? So yeah, that would be what I'd say on that. But what suggestions do you have as well, Mr. Wilbanks?
Yeah, I think what we can do is we can kind of change the focus. Now, also hear me out. I'm not going to say whenever your kid is at home, you are doing intensive Bible study, because then they're going to learn to hate it.
Yep.
What you need to do is you need to do what youth ministers are doing all the time. In the little events that we plan and we do, we have moments where we talk about with our students, we get to know them, but then we mention little nuggets of biblical principles here and there. We put that in our speech with them and we show them you can have fun and still learn something that is going to benefit you. And since you're going to be with your kids every day, every week, you have an opportunity to do the exact same thing. And this can be done when you watch a movie together. You can ask, like, for instance, I went and saw this. I'm gonna out myself as a nerd here, which I don't know if I've done before, but you're all about to know it. This past Saturday, I went and watched the new Dungeons & Dragons movie.
Holy cow.
Yes, yes. And it was so good. But there was also a lot of things in there that were foundational biblical truth, because all truth is God's truth. And so when I'm watching this movie, I'm thinking through these things that they're talking about, that they're mentioning, and I'm like, oh man, that could be something that I can use as like an example or something in a lesson. Of course, you know, having fun, enjoying the movie, but I'm also thinking, wow, this is a really cool concept that they're doing, and you can really build a conversation off of this with your kids if you go watch a movie like this. And so you take these things, you go, you watch movies, but then you say, hey, what do you think about this part of the movie? Well, it's funny that they talked about this because in the Bible, it also talks about this. And then boom, there you go. You have a teachable moment right there. You could do that with movies. You can do that with games that you play with your kids, whether it's a board game, a video game, or anything like that. You take things that you see and you find biblical concepts and you focus, you hone in on that sucker and you say, this is important for you to know. You didn't expect to have a conversation about the Bible, but here we are. This is kind of what it is. You take your kids away from some screens and do that, or you join your kids in their screen time and you watch with them and you shepherd them through entertainment. And I think that's what's so good, and it's also missed, because mm-hmm. you go, you watch movies, like, man, that movie was sure fun, and then that's it. So you need to, again, we kind of talked about this when we were talking about how when we go to different holiday events, you maximize that time in the car. It's the exact same concept here. You maximize that time with your kids in their screen time, you know, or you take them away from that screen time. Maybe you do have a Bible study with them. Maybe you do, you know, have a family game night where you play a game and then you have a quick devotion. There's so many different creative ways that you can go about this, but it's less about removing your kids from the screen and maximizing that time you have throughout their day. I think that's an important thing, because when you do that, then you begin to show them that this world is passing away, but the one who does the will of God remains forever. Mm-hmm. Because the more we watch movies and the more we play games, I'm going to out myself again. I'm doing this too often. When I was finishing up my college degree, I took a week off of doing, of writing way too many pages for way too many papers. And I spent over 100 hours playing a game. And when I finished that game and the credits rolled, life moved on. I had spent about 10 hours a day for almost a week or 2 weeks playing this one game. And then when I finished it, I was left with nothing. And so your kids, if they play games like I do, or do watch, you know, binge watch TV shows or movie series or anything like that, once the credits roll and the show's over, what are they left with? What are they moving for? Mm-hmm. And so that's where you come in. And honestly, please do not let your kids do what I did. That was not good. And I could talk about, you know, the emptiness I felt of being unsatisfied with an ending or whatever. But the thing is, what are you doing when your kids are facing away from a screen? What are you doing in those moments? That is where we need to put our focus. And maybe it is getting your kids away from screens, or maybe it's just coming alongside them, sitting down in the same room, which is something my mom did all the time. I'd be playing a game and she would read her Kindle in the same room. Just being there, showing that you love them. And then when you see something or you read something, and it's like, hey, can I talk to you for just a second? Sure, they're going to be like, oh, mom, I can't pause the game. It's like, well, when you have a chance, I'd like to say something. You find that inlet to meet them where they are.
Yeah.
And then those are the conversations they will never forget. And so that's kind of my big practical thing is to take those opportunities and maximize them.
Sure. Yeah. And I would say too that, you know, you may have the belief that your child doesn't want to be around you, doesn't want to talk to you, whatever, because you may actively say, look, I'm there, and they never want to do anything. What I've learned in student ministry, being around kids, being around parents, is that often it's not that kids don't want to be around their parents. It's not even that kids don't like their parents. It's that they feel as though the time is just not used, that it's useless, mm-hmm. that all it is, okay, we're both sitting here now. And so I would say, man, take the opportunity. If you know, okay, look, my options are my kid's going to sit here and play on their phone all night, or we can go, well, I don't know, we can go to a movie even together. We can go do something. We can go to a baseball game. If you have a dog, we can go shopping. Get them out of a normal situation, and you'll often see a change in their behavior. But what happens is that we, as parents, take this very negative mindset to their screens. And so all that the child sees and understands is, I'm going to get yelled at, and I'm going to have to give up the screen. And in return, I'm going to sit here and do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's almost like giving up something for Lent. The point isn't that you've deprived yourself of something. The point is, whatever you give up, you're supposed to use that time for a greater purpose. That greater purpose in Lent being time with God. Well, if we're going to have our kids give up some of their screen time, then we need to understand that we have something greater that we're going to provide them.
Right.
And look, this is where God's on your side big time. Because your involvement in their life, conversations with them about their day, conversations with them about the Bible, doing simple things together, whether that be playing a board game, going shopping, going to a baseball game, any of that has far greater impact than them being on their phone or than them watching a random TV show.
Yep.
Like, and once students get used to it, once you show that, hey, this is a regular thing that your mom wants to do, this is a regular thing your dad wants to do, then they go, okay, yeah, this is normal. And they don't need the screen. They don't desire, they don't have to be there. But what happens is, and I think what makes the title of Postman's book so, so just key, is we just want to amuse ourselves.
Right.
If we can't do anything constructive, we then go back to entertainment. if I can't do anything that I find to be worthwhile, then I'll be entertained. Mm-hmm. And I think we as parents, we just have to fight against that in the way that we parent. And we have to say, you know what? My job as a parent is not to entertain my kid for 18 years. It's to instruct them to live a life of godliness, which means that when there's nothing to do, that yes, maybe at times we take entertainment, but most of the time we find other ways of honoring God than just by making sure ourselves are entertained.
Right.
And to your point, when we do have those times of entertainment, we make sure to show what God thinks about that entertainment. But Matt, what resources do you have for this week?
Yeah, I've got 3 articles, so you don't even have to buy anything because we're doing this for y'all. Y'all don't have to buy a single book. I've got 2 articles from the Christian Counseling and Education Foundation, CCEF, and then 1 article from the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, ACBC. And these are talking about, the first one I have here is called Communicate with Teens. This is by Ted Tripp, and it's a long read, but it kind of talks about their world and their social media intake and screen time. So that's good. And then I have one written by Ed Welch, who's one of my favorite authors. And this is a quick read, and it's entitled Flirting with the Law. So doing something that might not be necessarily bad in Scripture, but it's also not necessarily good. And then the last one through ACBC is written by John Lehman, who is a pastor, and it's called Taming Technology. And so this one's more about your screen time and your kids' screen time. This one's also a little longer, but they're shorter than the books that we recommend. So there is that upside. So that's what I have.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to let those 3 be the 3. If you are, though, in deep desire of a slightly philosophical book to read, you've already heard Neil Postman's Abusing Ourselves to Death on this. But ultimately, you know, my encouragement to you as parents is, hey, take a minute as a couple before you go into any conversation and really determine, hey, what are we going to do that is going to show our kids that this time is more valuable? Mm-hmm. And that will ultimately grow them. Because if you listen to this as a podcast by yourself, without your spouse, which we, you know, that's fine. We love you listening. This needs to be a concerted, communicated effort between both of you.
Yep.
Because if one of you does it and the other doesn't, it doesn't work.
Right.
But if you both go into it and say, you know what, we're going to make sure to make the best of this time, then man, I'll tell you on the flip side, we are on your side cheering for you. Mm-hmm. Because ultimately, when you take that time and you use it for better, more godly purposes, there's actually no losers in that scenario. So that's what I have to say. Matt, do you have any closing thoughts?
Just go for it.
There we go. Well, thank you all for listening to this episode of Tuning the Bow. We will see you all next week. Goodbye.
Bye, everybody.